This is Doug Miller. Oh, yes, oh, yes. The court is in session. The Honorable Gallio of Achaia presiding. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
That was Paul Sublett, and this is Doug Miller. And we are here, and we are looking at a court scene. And Perry Mason is not here for the defense, and neither is, Clarence Darrow. In fact, Paul doesn't need any defense. The Lord is here to defend him, so let's go to court. Bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 18 of the book of Acts, and we will begin at verse 12, and call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to that end, we absolutely require the prayers of the saints. And every week I say it on here, we need your prayer support. So if you are saved at all, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You don't need to be praying for Dialogue. You need to be praying before God for yourself and crying out for mercy through Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you're saved, please pray for us. Write Dialogue down. Take this program before the Lord. We cannot, I can sit on here and I can talk into this mic and I can make sounds and they'll come out the other end and so on, but there'll be no power to it. The only power that I have is the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord takes his hand off me, this is just a waste of effort and time. And brethren, once again, pray for Dialogue. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue Ministries, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We have also, of course, you can email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. sbcglobal.net, or you can pull up our webpage and read all about us and hear the broadcasts, That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And I always say this, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. And the telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Now, you won't get a secretary. You'll get a recording, but I'll get back with you. All right. Let's look at this court scene. I always like court scenes. I like courtroom dramas. I love to watch these lawyers, and, of course, some of them I'd like to drag out and beat about the head and shoulders. But there's something very dramatic about a court. Now, earlier last week, we saw the Lord saying to Paul, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. No one's going to do this. Well, in verse 12, we have Paul dragged into court. And this is an interesting scene. It's almost comical in a way. Let's see what we've got here. We've got Gallio. He was the deputy, the proconsul, in this of Achaia, which is the state or the area that Corinth was located in. And the Jews, as we see here in verse 12, drag Paul in before the judgment seat, which the word is bema in Greek. And they drag him in here, and here's Gallio sitting at, you know, on the bema in judgment, and here's Paul. And the charge is this: this fella persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Now, here we've got, you got to get the picture here. Gallio is a Greek or maybe a Roman. He is a proconsul. His name suggests that he is probably a Roman. Of course, I'm sure that he spoke Greek. All of these guys did at this time. But here he is, a Gentile. He is not in the least bit familiar with the law of God. And he makes it clear in just a little bit here that he's not the least bit interested. I don't know why he thought he was being hailed into court here as a judge. I don't know what he thought when he saw Paul standing here and all of these Jews here, you know. But when he heard the accusation, this man, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Now, there's a problem here. The problem is that the law of God is these, you know, the Mosaic law, I guess is what these guys have in mind here. The Mosaic law has no authority in this particular courtroom. Now, let me say something about that. We've got an ongoing battle in the courts of America right now, and there's a question that's being bandied about out there that, to me, as I see it, is absolutely ridiculous. The question is, should Sharia law, the law of Islam, be given any weight in our courtrooms? Now, you know, I am utterly amazed at the number of judges, generally liberal judges, generally back east and up north, who are willing to listen to it and give weight to it. Why? I don't know. I don't know at all. It is the law of our country and our states and our counties and municipalities that judges should be making decisions on. But I digress. Let's get back and look at Gallio here. Gallio had a civil law that was operative here. And Gallio was a judge under that law. He was a Gentile, and he was not in here in this courtroom to make decisions based on the Mosaic law, which these Jews wanted him to do. Well, let's see what we've got here and what happens. In verse 14, Paul is about to open his mouth, but he doesn't get a chance. Look at what Gallio says. Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would be that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye into it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat, from the bema. Get out of here. You know, Gallio shows an inordinate amount of wisdom here. If I had been sitting there as a judge under this particular law, and it was Roman law, and the Romans in many ways grounded our own legal system. There are many of our principles in law that go back to the Romans, so it's not that the Romans were lawless. They had law, and it was pretty firm here. And Gallio makes it clear here. Look at here. I mean, if this guy were behaving wrong, if he were doing something wrong, but you want me to sit here and make judgments and decisions about things in your religion? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Many of you here are going to disagree with this, and I don't mean to upset any of you unduly. But I want to tell you something. There is a great difference between this book that I have in front of me and what I am doing for the Lord and what is on the books written out here as our laws in our society. There's a big deal, a great deal of difference. Now, Paul tells us that we should obey the laws. He makes that very clear in the book of Romans, doesn't he? And we should. All of us who are saved, we need to be known as and to behave ourselves as a law-abiding people, so long as those laws do not conflict with the law of God and with God's instructions and God's direction. There is nothing that says I should not obey the law when I get in my car and drive out here. I should drive within the speed limit. That's the law. I should be an example of proper behavior out here to anyone. You know, paying my taxes, serving my country however I can, and so on and so forth. But now, and here's where I know I'm going to get on some toes. It is my personal opinion that political involvement, and there are a lot of churches out here who are involved up to their necks in politics, I personally just don't see it. I would not encourage anyone in that direction. And I am sorry to have to tell you this, but I'll just tell you. You see many people up in Washington right now, in Congress and in the Senate. You see the way that they behave. You don't like the way they behave. I am convinced that the vast majority of them, when they went up there, were just as honest, just as decent and upright as anyone that I'm talking to right now. They really intended to get up there and do the right thing and to help and to be honest and so on and so forth. And once they got up there, the system takes over, you know, and the system begins to run them. And pretty soon, it's kind of hard to tell who and what they are. And you look at them and say, did you really vote for that? Well, yeah, I had to, you see, because I had to compromise because so on and so forth. I tell you what, there's a great deal of difference between serving the Lord and getting bogged down and involved in politics. Now that I've offended some of you, I'm sorry I couldn't help that, but look at this. There is a definite difference. Galileo has no problem here. Get this out of my courtroom. I am not going to sit in here and make decisions about words and names and things that are written in your book. That's not what I'm here to do. And he wasn't. And this was a correct decision, I can tell you right now. And he drave them. And then we find out, I mean, the tables get turned. The Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. So here they are. They take Paul up there wanting to get him punished, and they are the ones that get punished. Well, I have no problem with that. I think they had it coming. But, look, Paul didn't beat him up, did he? He didn't take him. No, these were other guys. And that's good. You know, where we are falsely accused of things as believers, we don't have to take the law into our own hands. We don't have to get involved in beating people up. We have a promise from the Lord. It's in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Paul didn't have to take vengeance here. He didn't have to get involved in this at all. But these guys, I mean, they brought Paul in to get beaten up. They were the ones that got beaten up. And this, I think, is a perfect, you know, God, the mills of God grind slowly. Sometimes vengeance doesn't fall immediately, or repayment doesn't fall immediately. But they got what they had coming. And this, I think, is the Lord's hand on them. And Paul, after that, we read in verse 18, tarried there a good while. So they didn't run him out of town. He stuck around. He stayed there. It was the Lord's will for him to be there. And Paul stays and teaches, and he took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Wow! Having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought we saw last Saturday, we were looking at an earlier part of verse 18, where Paul shook the dust, shook his clothes off, and said, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. I'm going from now on to the Gentiles. Here he is going to the Jews again. I believe that the answer to that and the explanation is that he was talking about the Jews in Corinth, that he was not going to be preaching to them anymore. But here in Ephesus, he goes right back to the synagogue, and he talks to the Jews. And Priscilla and Aquila are traveling with him. This is good. This is a good thing. He had stayed with them in Corinth, in their home. We saw that couple of Saturdays ago, and now they are traveling with him, and they have gone with him to Ephesus. And we see in verse 20 that they desired him to tarry longer time with them, but he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now, Paul wasn't in Ephesus long here, was he? But he does. He comes back, and we'll see that later on. We'll see him doing some real ministry in Ephesus, some very powerful ministry. But right now he has gone away, and he leaves Priscilla and Aquila. Let's go ahead and get into this. Verse 22, he lands at Caesarea. He goes up and down saluting the church and went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, boy, here's a traveling man, isn't he? And there are those like that, itinerant preachers and teachers, and praise the Lord for them. And Paul was not able to stay too long in one place because the Lord had plans for him. And, of course, Galatia, he wrote a letter to Galatia, didn't he? And Galatia is an area. It's not a city. It's central Turkey. And Paul traveled throughout there earlier back in the in the 16th chapter of Acts. You will notice Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke and some of the others tried to go into that area, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow it. And so they traveled up the coast and went over to Philippi. But now the Holy Spirit does not just allow it, but he leads Paul into that area to strengthen and preach and teach. And I am certainly glad he did, because out of his preaching and teaching in Galatia, we get one of the most powerful letters that I can imagine, the letter to the Galatians. And I think Paul would probably not have written that letter if he hadn't spent time there, and if he didn't know these people and had made contact with them. And with that, let's move on. Let's move on. We've got a little bit of time here. Let's go into verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Stop right there. There is something extremely important here in these two verses. I want you to notice this, that gift presupposes nothing but gift. What do I mean by that? Well, this is very important. This is very important for you all to get hold of, particularly those of you out there who are pastors or elders in churches. You need to see this. There is such a thing as gift. Not all people have the same gift. If you are not a gifted speaker and preacher, you are going to have a little bit of difficulty up there on that platform speaking and preaching in a church. I don't care what seminary you went to or what they taught you in homiletics classes. I want to go on the record here as saying you cannot teach someone how to preach and teach off the platform. You can't do it. I don't care how much they want to. They either have that gift or they don't have it. And if they don't have that gift and you've got an ungifted man up there on the platform or an ungifted woman or whatever you have up there or whoever, and I don't care what kind of grades they made in seminary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have ever sat under the preaching and teaching of a gifted teacher, you know what I'm talking about. You sit down, that gifted individual begins talking, and you are simply transfixed. You look down at your watch, 30 minutes, 45 minutes have elapsed. It seems like five. You can't wait to hear more. You wish he would go on. That's how gift works. You've got other guys, they plan these sermons out, these neat little canned sermons. They do not have gift, and they bore you to tears. Now, look, it's just a simple fact. And yet, as I said, gift presupposes nothing but gift. And that is important to get hold of. Apollos was a gifted man. He was eloquent, and he was fervent, and he was diligent in his teaching, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord. But he was ignorant. He only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know anything else. And I can just imagine and notice we've got Priscilla and Aquila. They go down to the synagogue and they hear him down there. And I can just imagine the two of them saying, you know, Aquila says to Priscilla maybe, Priscilla, listen to this kid. This kid is good. Listen to him. Man, he is, listen to him talking and preaching and, wow. And Priscilla says, yes, Aquila, but he is ignorant. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen, he's talking about the baptism of John. He apparently doesn't know that that's all behind us, that the Christ has come, that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for our sins and was buried and rose again. He doesn't understand any of that. Well, says Aquila, maybe we better get him over to the house and do some teaching and instruct him. Now listen to me, you who are out there in the churches, where you have gifted people, don't you be carried away by that gift. You listen to them and see what they are talking. The gift can get carried away and run away with itself, and you get some very bad teaching. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.